We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think the first four games, or the first three games rather, were Bowdings. And then the Rockets won a couple of those ugly games. Neither team got to 100 points as the Rockets won games four and game five. Game six was another absolute blasting back at Oracle. And then game seven, you wouldn't really characterize that as a classic. It was kind of an ugly game. The Rockets missing 27 straight threes. The Warriors offensively didn't play great either. So for me, avoiding recency bias, I would say the baseball series is better.
Here's where that's interesting, and we got Travis on the line, but I want to counter that. Five of the seven games between the Giants and the Royals were decided by five or more runs. So when you're talking about the Rockets and the Warriors not being super competitive in some of those games, game one, 7-1, game two, 7-2, game three, 3-2, game four, 11-4, game five, 5-0, game six, 10-0, game seven, 3-2. Yeah. They're very similar. The parallels are eerie. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. As we turn to the phones, very happy to welcome in two-time World Series champ, former Giants first baseman and outfielder, Travis Ishikawa, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Travis, thanks for the time, man. How's life been treating you?
Well, it's going as well as possible, I guess, and thank you guys for having me. And it was kind of shocking to hear outfielder at the end of the title there. That was weird. I guess, 15 games in the outfield to get you that title?
I figured that. I was going through, and your first it with the Giants, like, exclusively first baseman, and I'm always thorough with the profiles when people come on, and I saw enough time in outfield, I was like, you know what, we'll get it out there. I want to make sure people knew about your defensive range. Not many people remember the outfield days, huh?
No, I mean, if you take away 2014, I spent a total of like three innings in the outfield, so, and they were all ninth inning mop ups on different teams. So, I'll happily take it though.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to take what you can get, no matter when you can get it. Travis, we're doing a little Bay Area Championship Madness bracket to try to help pass the time with no sports, and today we featured your 2014 Giants against the 2018 Warriors. Take us back to the 2014 postseason, particularly when you had your unbelievable moment with the walk-off home run to eliminate the Cardinals and make it to the World Series.
The story hasn't changed much in the last 6 years. It's I don't remember a ton. I remember going up to the plate and one of the few times in my life really executing a plan that I wanted to take up to the plate. I knew that the Cardinals pitched me in, so I wanted to make sure that I try to get a ball out over the plate and be as quick as I can to the ball with Waka throwing so hard. And got the count in my favor, got my pitch, and put a good swing on it. First impression off the bat was I hit it too low. I thought it was just going to be a nice little line drive to Tavares out there in right field, and thankfully was able to backspin it. And the more I got to see his back, better feeling I had running down the first baseline until I saw it go over.
That's awesome play and awesome memory and time. Tell me something. What would made this team unique and what made you guys special?
I think the number one answer was just the camaraderie and the chemistry we had. I love sharing the story because I got called up end of July, like the last week of July. I know the Giants were kind of going through a rough stretch when we got there, and I showed up, and Hunter Pence had a player-only meeting, right there, right after batting practice in the weight room, and it was a 15-20 minute speech, and I left that weight room like goosebumps on my arms. I'd never met the guy. I still haven't even introduced myself to him yet. I said hello to him a few times playing against him when he was with the Astros, but left that meeting, goosebumps on my arms, and feeling like I'd been a part of the team the entire year, and I was psyched, I was pumped, I was ready to go, and that was just a small preview of what that team represented all year long. I mean, guys just, you know, leading by example. You know, obviously Hunter was the voice of the, you know, the captains, and you know, obviously preaching what he or playing how he preached, and I think the big thing too was just everybody was. There was no egos on the team. I mean, everybody was comfortable with the role they were in. You know, me getting called up, I was more than happy just being that lefty off the bench for Boach and helping in any way I could. And so I think just everybody having the same mindset, especially once we got into the playoffs, was what really got us over the hump.
Travis Ishikawa joining Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Compare that title run to your other title run with the Giants in terms of the mindset, the clubhouse culture, everything heading in to the first encounter. I'd imagine that by the time you guys were going through this for the third time, the guys who had been around for all three, there had to be a higher level of confidence in that no matter what situation you faced, you could overcome it based on the recent championship runs, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. For me, it was completely different because I wasn't playing in the 2010 one, so I was more of, I was like you guys, I was a spectator and a fan cheering as hard as I could for the most part. But, yeah, I mean, you went in, like, I mean, I just heard you guys talking about the seven games with the Royals, and, you know, I didn't realize we had scored that many runs and their games were that lopsided. And so, but I just was thinking, going back into game seven, again, I didn't start that game. So I was stomach and knots, nervous as can be. I don't know if I showed it, but I remember looking around the clubhouse and it was just as like it was a mid-game, you know, a day game in August. I mean, just guys were relaxed, music was going, normal conversations were taking place. There was no change in the demeanor in the clubhouse. There's no change in the way guys went about their business in the batting practice or in their pregame prep. And, you know, I definitely got to believe that, you know, three runs in 5 years for a lot of those guys, it was just another day at the park.
Even for a guy like Madison Bumgarner, who at that moment in time, and we can think about sports history, 150 years, he's about as locked in as any athlete in any sport in history with the way he performed. Was he just the same intense Madison Bumgarner throughout that whole October run?
Oh, absolutely. He was the exact same guy. You know, just one of the nicest people he ever talked to until he gets on the mound, and he's a bulldog. And, you know, definitely the guy that I would always love to, you know, I'd want to be behind. And what he did was one of the more amazing things I've ever seen on the sports field, definitely in person. I just, you know, to throw over 100 pitches 2 days earlier and then to get a five wow. innings. And I still just, I'm in disbelief when I look back and I see that game seven on what he was able to do, especially with a very talented Royals offense.
Right. When that happened, what was going through your mind? How was your body feel when you're saying, oh my God, when he comes out of the bullpen, you're like, here comes Madison. What kind of charge or emotional lift did that give you guys?
Oh, I was psyched. I saw him warming up in the pen. I saw him come out to start the, was it fifth inning?
Yeah.
You know, obviously, the Coffin Stadium, just booing them all can be. And I'm, you know, kind of feeling that, just that, you know, that excitement. And he gets to the mound. I watched his first two warm-up pitches, and I said, uh-oh. Like, he doesn't look good. His fastball doesn't look sharp. He's missing high and arm side. I'm like, how is he going to get us to the eighth inning, you know, or however many innings Boach was hoping to get from him? And then I believe what it was drawing a blank here. It was a walk. It was a walk or a single to Infante. And then Aoki hit the line drive to left. And I'm like, oh, no, like, that was a lefty on lefty. And like, Aoki just hit a line.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm not getting out. But I'm like, I don't know what we're going to, what are we going to do? Like, what's going to happen here? And then, I'm sorry, it was a sack bunt, then the line drive.
Yeah.
And then after after that, he was able to settle down, and he looked like old Bum. And he just was mowing guys down. Obviously, we don't have to explain the rest of the game. But, you know, I asked him after, you know, we got back on the bus, getting onto the plane after the game. I was sitting in front of him on the bus, and I asked him, like, what was going through your head? Like, were you hurting or anything? He goes, dude, I was exhausted, but I just kept telling myself, I'm going to get this next hitter, and I'm going to keep going until Boach comes and gets me. And he just never came and got me, so I just kept getting the guy in front of me. So,
wow.
I mean, that's a perfect example of the competitiveness of Baum. And I mean, he's going to give you what he's got and all that he's got, whatever's in there. And I just, you know, his whatever percentage he was pitching at was just better than the Royals that day.
Travis Ishikawa joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I know you talked about that at bat against Michael Wacha earlier in the interview. Take me through what it's like rounding first base. Every time we go back and we listen to the Joe Buck call, you see the fans going crazy, your arms in the air. I'd imagine that's the fastest you ever ran around the bases in your entire life. Like, take me through that feeling. Like, I'd imagine if you close your eyes, you can picture rounding first base. What was that like for you?
Honestly, you're right. Probably even ground balls to shortstop, I was probably running harder on that home run. But honestly, I still, to this day, don't remember running the bases. I remember seeing the ball go out. I remember high-fiving Roberto Kelly at first, and it goes foggy and blank until I'm in the fetal position between home and the pitcher's mound, getting mobbed by them teammates. I've seen it thousands of times. You know, the fist pump between first and second, and PV, you know, I vaguely remember, I didn't know it was PV at the time, I vaguely remember someone kind of coming out in between second and third, but I don't remember slamming my helmet. I don't remember, you know, running into the Casilla and everybody at home plate. I don't remember any of that. I feel terrible. I still got to apologize to Flan because I didn't even give him a high five round in third. I don't remember any of it. To this day, it still is a blackout for me.
Two-time World Series champ, former Giants first baseman and outfielder for a few innings, Travis Ishikawa with us here on 95.7 The Game. Travis, we appreciate the time. We appreciate the stories. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Stay safe out there.
Thank you guys for having me. You guys do the same.
I couldn't imagine that moment. You get chills even watching replays on YouTube and listening to Joe Buck. So being the guy himself, you always seem to hear the same thing, though. Like, they black out portions of it. Did you black out portions of the Music City Miracle? Like, when you go back through your mind on all that, can you remember all of it vividly?
When you ask the question first, you don't. You remember, you're like, man, what happened? And then you have to go through, and then when you listen to it, then it starts coming to you. When you start listening to the call again, you're like, oh my God, what was I thinking here? Where was that? Because every time I still listen to that play, honestly, I get goosebumps. I get chills. I'm like, oh my God, this is friggin' unbelievable. In the moment, though, Joe, you're friggin' just thinking about just doing your job. That's why when he hit it, he said he took off. He was flying. You said, this is the fastest I've seen you run. And he was hitting a home run. It goes to show you, you're in the moment. The adrenaline's flowing. You're like, friggin', I got to do my job. He's not thinking about Shoba. And then once he realized that it was out, then the emotions, then the pure emotions kick in. And it's about celebrations. You do things. You yell. You scream. You say things that you wouldn't say. You're out of your body. It's an out-of-body experience when you're that excited about something that big.
I mean, just to go back and relive some of that, Joe Buck was awesome on the call. We should probably get the call at some point to play that for today. Kevon Looney is going to join us at 8:30 to balance out the equation. Ishikawa is representing the 2014 Giants for today's Bay Area Championship Madness. They're taking on the 2018 Golden State Warriors. So we'll speak with Kevon Looney at 8:30 about that. But going back through that, Dibs, to the question we had earlier, not only are we breaking down the two teams against each other, those two series, I was kind of looking at that this morning because the Giants, like the Warriors, were making quick work of everyone else. The Giants got past Pittsburgh, 3-1 against Washington, 4-1 against St. Louis, and then they had the big seven-game series against the Royals. The Warriors that year made quick work of the Spurs in five, the Pelicans in five, and the Cavs in the finals in four. That was a sweep. So the only series that was tight was the seven-gamer against Houston. So I started breaking it down. The Warriors actually outscored Houston in that series by 57 points.
Wow.
A seven-game series where they were trailing 3-2 because you did have major blowouts in there. They won game three by 41 points. They won game six by 29 points. Everything else was relatively tight. That Royal-Giant series, Five of the seven games were decided by five or more runs, but two of the most crucial games, Game 3 and Game 7, were decided by just one. So when I was going back through that, I probably end up giving the edge to the Warriors, but I think there's a little bit more bias there just because it was Houston. Everything right. that went into that season, all the talk coming out of Texas, Harden and everyone trying to challenge Curry and whether or not he's one of the best players in the NBA, that was the series. Missing those 27 straight three-pointers, I'm never going to forget that. That is an incredible feat. Or whatever the opposite of feet is. That is an incredible hand. An incredible hand.
No, it's an abomination is what it is to miss that many three-pointers in a row. It's one thing to go, I think they were 8 for 41 or something for the game, which is dreadful in and of itself. But to miss 27 consecutive, to not even be able to throw one in, to not even be able to throw it in the ocean from the side of a boat when you're 100 miles south of Guam, that's stunning to me, Lo.
It's absolutely stunning. They just went on that cold streak. You thought in Houston, everyone, we said, man, Warriors are losing this series. You just knew the way that the momentum seemed like had switched, and Houston was going home to play. And the Warriors were struggling in that game, too. It wasn't like the Warriors just was crushing them. And all of a sudden, that fourth quarter, when they couldn't hit the backside of a barn, you're like, oh, my God, Houston gave this thing away. It was unbelievable.
You know, we had a conversation with NBA insider Brian Windhorst from ESPN this morning, and we're talking about everything that's going on with the NBA. His colleague Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN had a story yesterday that the NBA is not ruling out the idea of playing into September this year. They desperately, desperately want to get back to work and find a way to complete this season. Now, that might not involve a completion of the regular season, but they want to put the playoffs out there because of that TV money. They need to get back to business. And you're noticing the cracks are starting to show up for some of the owners around the league. Steve Ballmer, Clippers, he just dropped $400 million on the forum. He's good. And James Dolan just made a four-time profit on that in 8 years' time because he sold it for what? He put in about $100 million total in terms of purchase and renovation, sold it for $400 to Ballmer, so he's doing fine. But look at Tillman Fertitta, owner of the Rockets. 40,000 employees of his have been furloughed because he's in the restaurant, hotel, and casino game. He furloughed those people, 40,000. You got the ownership group that owns the New Jersey Devils and the Philadelphia Flyers tried to tell their employees they're going to knock their salaries down by 20%. Joel Embiid came out and said he would take care of the employees. He was donating $500,000. The backlash was so bad against the Sixers and the Devils, that ownership group, that they immediately reversed course and said, oh, yeah, sorry, bad decision. We're going to go ahead and pay everyone in full. The league wants to get back to work. Windhorst actually said he wouldn't be surprised if the season stretched into October. Like, imagine that. Durant could be back. Irving could be back. If you had a season stretching into October, you could have the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the end of the NBA season, the end of the hockey season, the Masters, the U.S. Open, the Kentucky Derby supposed to be in September.
Right.
Like, we could go through no sports, and then we could get to the fall if things break right, and we could have all the sports.
Yeah, it's like when you starve yourself for three or four days, you try to lose weight, so you go crash diet, and you lose about 8 pounds, and you go on your big weekend trip, and then you come back, and you just start eating again. And you go from losing 8 pounds to gaining 14 pounds because it's the whole binge and purge idea. And I think, Joe, if you think about it, early October, if you've got, let's just say, week two of the NFL and you got college football, and then during the week, we don't have that same lull that we're used to having because you'd have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, NBA playoff action, especially if they were just in one centralized location and you'd have like double or triple headers. Let's just say like Bismarck or Fargo, North Dakota, as the location. Can you imagine having double and triple headers? It'd be like a high school tournament, but it'd be with NBA teams. It'd be amazing.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. So Windhorst said that if they need to do it, they'll actually pick two locations, not major cities, but they might pick two lesser cities that aren't necessarily coronavirus hotspots and send the 16 playoff teams to these two cities and then hold the playoffs in front of no crowd whatsoever as they play out the duration of this thing. That would be so bizarre. He mentioned college campuses, putting the guys possibly in dorms and spending weeks there working their way through the playoffs. Lo, if you're a player, what are you thinking in that scenario? How are you going to play in front of no crowd, by the way? What's that going to be like?
Well, I think M-O-N-E-Y, money. I think when you look at it, Joe, guys will be able to do it. You think about how many of these guys you watch them practice and you watch the offseason. They're scrimmage against one another. You see that all the time, Dibs. These guys, they practice in front of no crowds all the time, and they get it in. Man, you people are more testier sometimes with no crowd because it's now, boom, it's mano a mano. I think you even change a little dynamics. I think you even have more physicality. I think you have guys even acting even more because it's really one-on-one. And it's something about playing one-on-one in the little gym when it's no people around. It's like, okay, let's go. It's me and you against one another. So I think you would have a very, very competitive. I don't think anything would change. I think competition would be high.
I think one thing that's going to be easy to convey to the players, and this is why you're not going to have much of an argument here, is that at some point behind closed doors, the lead reps will meet with Adam Silver, and he's going to explain something very, very simple to them. Gentlemen, in 2016-2017, we started a 9-year, $25 billion TV deal with ESPN and TNT. Okay? They are losing money. We are losing money. And oh, by the way, prior to coronavirus, the NBA wasn't really delivering for those two entities, if you know what I mean. Load management has been a big problem. Kawhi Leonard took off that game against Milwaukee earlier in the year that everyone wanted to see. I think that was a Saturday night game. That was a big problem. The issue with China early in the season, started by Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Rockets, that cost them revenue. These TV companies, man, you're going to eventually have a new round of negotiations coming up. And the NBA is not going to want to have to go in there and take less, which is pretty much what it's looking like it's going to happen, which means salaries for the players dip and revenues for the teams dip. So this is going to be one of those, how can we make good in any way, shape, or form? I don't think there's a scenario right now, the more we gather, in which the NBA is not going to give you a full playoff slate. You might get no more regular season games, but you're going to get your 16 playoff teams, and you're going to get nothing but best of seven series in an effort to try to mitigate some of this damage, Dibs.
Man, it's interesting, Joe, because that's a two-month thing to go from normally we go mid-April to mid-June to get through 16 teams in the playoffs and best of seven, by the way, at every round. I'd be surprised if they didn't try to truncate it at least a little bit. Maybe they go back to best of five in that first round matchup just in the interest of time, because even if they go to the bubble idea, and Brian Windhorst was mentioning the Chinese Basketball League and how they're trying to look to do that, if you go to the bubble system, and let's say you don't start until July at all, it's still looking at 2 months, and are you going to be able to bubble teams for that long in some third-tier location? That, to me, is a big ask if you stay to the same format.
If you started at the beginning of August, you'd go to the beginning of October, right? Like, right. It's basically 2 months. You start mid-April, you go to mid-June. I don't see them cutting corners anywhere. I think there's going to be too much money lost. They need to make good. Otherwise, and this is why the NFL is going to go forward with the draft. They're going to sit in front of TV networks next year and the following year and the following year, and they're going to say, when everyone else didn't come through, we were there. We delivered. We brought ratings. The NFL is always there. We always win. We're bankable. We're billable. We're making money for everybody hand over fist. And it's going to be tough to be like, yeah, well, no, you're going to pony up. Meanwhile, when the NBA comes back to the table, it's going to be, we lost a ton of money on you in 2018 or 2019, 2020. Daryl Morey jeopardized everything with China. Then the coronavirus hit. Guys, our hands are tied. We're not going north of $25 billion like last time. And I think that's going to be the biggest fear right now for the league. That's what they're trying to figure out. The next time you sit down at the table, this is a big negotiating chip for the TV networks.
It really is, and I think that, like you just alluded to, Joe, when you look at the NFL and they go now can say, look, no matter what happened, we still put the product, we still had programming for you guys when time was at its scarcest if we've ever seen. The NFL, we came up with the plan, we made sure we still executed, and we did that making sure not just taking care of our partnership, but taking care of you and respecting what you guys needed, because people needed an outlet. We knew when we felt best that we moved forward, even though we had the noise and everyone surrounding us saying, don't do it. We knew it was best for our partnership. We knew it was best for us in this product. And that's why we pushed forward in this tough times, because we wanted to make sure we still gave the product and our fans something to hold on to. So you're absolutely right. I think the NFL is really, really ahead of this, Dibs. And I think it continues. That's why it continues to be at the forefront, unfortunately, for basketball and hockey. In baseball, right now, this is their season, and it's nothing they can do about it.
Well, the NFL just got lucky that this happened in March, in February and March, and it didn't happen in September and October. Because if this happens in September and October, the NFL all of a sudden isn't going to be able to step forward and say, well, you know, we're doing this for the people. We're going business as usual because we want to give you some content. Because they're in a situation now where the majority of their activity can be done remotely. Now, whether or not the draft can be executed or not, I'm still not of the mind that they can still continue going forward with the draft in any fashion, but that's up for the league to decide going forward.
I mean, I'll tell you guys what. I don't know. This might seem weird, and you guys say you're crazy, Lo. I don't know if the NFL would have stopped business. I don't know if the NFL is going to be – okay, so follow me here. It's 7 days. You play every 7 days. So you get tested. Say if this virus would have happened, okay? You understand with them. You charter a plane. You're not on flying with public people. You're not flying with the masses. You're on your own particular plane. You don't necessarily come through the airport. You're bussed into the private sector. So you come to the runway. Now you get on a plane and you say no stadiums, no people in the stadiums. Now do you test everyone? Do you have still a situation where if it's no stadium, still empty and you're away from everyone? I think football is still one of the most safest. I don't believe, in my opinion, just thinking about this as we go down this rabbit hole, I don't think that the NFL is going to be stopped, guys,
all
because
right, so,
of the fact it's clean.
Well, let me throw some at you. Say the Chiefs and the Niners are getting set to meet right now during this scenario. The Chiefs don't have a ban in Missouri on whether or not they can get together. So they can go to the facility, they can watch film, they can practice, they can go through their install, they can do everything. Niners can't get together. Statewide ban. No one's allowed to gather. So the California teams and the New York teams and any other state that has a shelter in place in effect, they wouldn't be able to gather. So you'd probably have to figure, and I think that's why Goodell told everyone last night that all NFL facilities are closed beginning at 6 p.m. today. And I think that's 6 Eastern.
Give it ever equal.
Right, because all the general managers yesterday told him they want the draft pushed back. He said no. The owners, the power owners are saying no. And I think to even the playing field, they're sending everybody home because teams like the Niners can't have people into their facility, whereas a team like, I guess, the Packers probably could. So competitive advantage.
Right. Right,
but that's an interesting thought by you on behalf of the NFL. Basically, the nothing's stopping us. The show goes on, as they say. All right, so what's coming up in the game is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Kevon Looney, he's one of a few Larrys with the Golden State Warriors. We're going to catch up with him next. What's going on with the Warriors during this time? What was it like in 2018 going up against the Rockets? All that good stuff. He's going to join us for the latest installment of Bay Area Championship Madness. While we adapt to the new normal, Chilton Auto Body is committed to help maintain a sense of normalcy. All 12 Chilton Auto Body locations remain open to support you and will pick up and deliver your car when it's ready for the road. Schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now back to Joe Low and Dibs.
Well, think about it. I don't understand it.
On 95.7 The Game.
Just a reminder, if you want to take Joe Low and Dibs, as well as all the other excitement here at 95.7 The Game, on the road with you, when you happen to be on the road but not in the car, download the radio.com app today and favorite 95.7 The Game. Today's show brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. And as always, we're getting a lot of good stuff today on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Let us hear it loud. Let us hear it early. Let us hear it often. Let's go to the phones. He's an NBA champion, Golden State Warriors big man, Kevon Looney, kind enough to join Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Kevon, we appreciate the time, man. How's life been treating you?
Thanks for having me. Everything's been going well.
I know you've been battling some injuries this season. Before we get into everything else, just how you feeling overall? And while you're limited, I'm sure, in the recovery process, how's the body feeling? You know, when do you think you might be back up to full strength?
I'm feeling better. Still trying to do rehab at home, at least. But, you know, with the timeline, with everything being closed down and not being able to really leave the house, I don't know how much longer my rehab is going to take, but I'm feeling better. And, you know, with the NBA being postponed, I should be better before the NBA starts back up.
Are you able to get in some work at home? I know the team has been able to bring some equipment to some players. Are you able to adequately stay in shape and continue your rehab while at home?
Yes. I've been doing rehab at home. They, you know, the Warriors sent me home with a lot of stuff that I can do on my own, and they sent me the workout plans. And now I've got nothing but time at the house. So I've been doing a lot of working out, a lot of push-ups, a lot of things to stay strong and things like that. But, you know, trying to find stuff to do to stay entertained at home.
No question. It's tough times for everyone. How is your loved ones doing, your parents, and just people that you know, that's been a big part of your life? How is everyone doing with this virus going on, brother?
Everybody's just trying to stay positive, trying to stay family-oriented. You know, parents are a little older, and they try to tell them to stay home and stay. They can't really come to my house like that, and I live out here. But they're trying to stay safe, trying to make the best out of it, make fun, and keep high spirits. You know, it's a difficult time for everybody having to stay in the house and not be able to move around, and, you know, you don't want people to get sick, and, you know, you're trying to be responsible and do the right thing, and it's been easy for the family.
Kevon Looney joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Just out of curiosity, have you checked out Tiger King on Netflix yet?
I did. I watched last night, actually, with my girlfriend. Sat there watched the whole thing. It was really entertaining.
All right, don't give us any spoilers, because we're going episode by episode. We just watched the first episode last night. Like, without giving too much of a spoiler away, did you enjoy the series? How crazy was it on the scale of 0 to 10 in terms of what Kevon Looney has seen in his life?
I would rate it a 9. It was real crazy. You know, the first episode just gives you a taste of it, but as it goes on, it continues to get crazy and crazy, and it takes a lot of turns that you can't foresee.
Yeah, twists and turns. We're looking forward to getting further down the road and seeing exactly what happens with all these big cats. Kevon, I want to go back a little bit to the 2018 NBA season, the NBA Finals, when you guys won your third title in 4 years. What was it like that season, having to go through all the various injuries and then having to get over the Rockets in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals?
It was an incredible year. You know, that year actually had a lot more ups and downs than the previous year we won it. You know, a lot of adversity, but that made it that much sweeter to win that championship. You know, we had a lot of great guys on the team. We had a lot of new additions. We added Dick Young to that team. The lineup had changed a little bit. We're starting JaVale a little bit more, and still had Zaza. We still had that veteran presence at D-West. That was a real great team. You know, we battled injuries in the playoffs, and San Andre for most of that Houston series, and not knowing if he's going to be healthy for the finals, and him playing through that injury in the finals and coming up big and helping us win that series. It was a time and moment for my career. You know, that's the time I got to actually play a lot of rotation minutes, and for the first time, and to be able to step up in the playoffs is big for me, and be able to start in the Game 7 is something that I always will remember. So that season was a memorable run, and that's something that I always talk about.
Yeah, Kevon, you played a great deal in that postseason and had some big moments and big minutes. What is it when you're on a championship team and you win in a title and you're trying to repeat and you're just going through that window where you're great, that window where it's dynasty, you're hearing all that. How do you stay focused, and what were some of the biggest distractions to try to keep you guys off derail?
It's a lot of the distractions that come with, we a championship team, and the media is trying to break the team up. It's talking about KD, talking about Steph, whose team is it, who is it, and all things like that. And we just tried to stay focused. We had a great group of guys, a lot of veteran leadership. So we deal pretty well with the distractions. You know, I think the biggest thing that year was the injuries. You know, we had a stretching time, and it's towards the end of the season. I think Steph, KD, Clay and Draymond was all hurt when we was going out there. We didn't have none of our star players out there playing, so it was time towards the end of the season when things were tough. I think in that year, the beginning of the playoffs, Steph injured too. I think he missed a few games, and so we just dealing with injury was a tough thing to deal with. But everybody stepped up, everybody stayed focused and locked in. You know, they're going into that Houston series where going down 3-2, and our back against the wall, we had to respond. That was something that we all stayed locked in. We all stayed positive, and we knew we could do something special. And we went out there and won that series. And once we got to the finals, we knew we was going to win.
Kevon Looney joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I want to go back to what you were talking about earlier regarding Andre Iguodala and that injury. I had forgotten about that. He wasn't able to play in a lot of the Houston series, and you had a lot of people coming out saying, how bad is this injury? How come he's not playing? I think part of that was because the team, and rightfully so in a smart way, was trying to keep the information that made it out to the public limited, but that created all this speculation. So, like, behind closed doors, what were you guys talking about as you heard the media questioning the severity of his injury?
We was all question is the severity of it. We didn't really know. Andre's pretty poker face. He kept everything under wraps. And we saw him rehabbing every day, but we was really focusing on that series. And, you know, us being down, we just trying to go back and win. You know, we trying to figure out, is Andre going to be back? But they kind of told us that he was done for Houston, and if he make it to the finals, that he would be back obviously for the finals there. And that was tough, you know, not having one of our leaders out there on the court kind of changed all our lineups and all our rotations. Not having them out there, he was one of the guys that closed the games for us and always came up big. But different guys stepped up during that series. I had a chance to close the games out. You know, Nick Young closed some games out. Clint Cook closed some games out. But we all had to step up and play as a team. But that was a tough time, not knowing when one of your leaders is going to be out there on the court. You know, he wants to be out there. So as a young guy, we just want to go out there and play the role and try to fill his shoes.
What's it like now looking back, not that the dynasty run is over, but having this time to just press pause and look back at all those seasons where you're playing deep into June and the games with so much import? Is it easier now to look back and have a greater appreciation for just what you guys went through?
Definitely. You know, this time now where just sitting at home and I'm watching a lot of reruns of games and seeing watching you know, games on TV, watching the old finals game, seeing that chemistry and that bond that you have with those teammates, those games are going to go down in history as being one of the best teams in history. You know, and so now I always think about it. I had a chance to be part of a dynasty. You know, a lot of guys can't say that, be part of a team that won 3 and 4 years. You know, that's something that's special to me, and that's something that I hold dear to the spirit of my heart. That I can say that I was part of that. So, you know, being part of a team that's that great, it's great. You know, this year has been tough, but you know, I know that what it takes to win a championship now after being a part of a team like that. You know how good the chemistry has to be, and you know, that's something that's a goal that we look forward to. That coming back next year when everybody's back to full strength, that we can try to compete again.
Kevon, two-part question for you. For one, during this time of, you know, not playing, what does basketball mean to you? And have you got to be able to sit back now and reflect on your career and just what this sport meant to you? And second part of this question is, what do you want to say to your fans and just people out there that were in this battle against this Corona 19?
Yeah, so first part, you know, basketball means the world to me. So not to be able to play and go out there and you know, really compete with my teammates and compete for the fans, that bother me and it's tough. But we know that you know, life is bigger than basketball, and you know, certain things that this is way more important. And I think that us taking care of, being responsible, and staying home and washing your hands and doing what our government officials say is really important in a time like this. You know, I just stay at home and watch old basketball games, get that basketball kick I need, but. I know that it's going to start back up as a country, as a state, as a city. We're going to get through this together, and you know, we need to stay positive, stay safe, keep staying away from each other. I know that's tough. You know, San Francisco is a community, family based like city. Everybody loves each other. You know, as a Warrior player, the fans always treat you with respect and show love, and you know, just try to stay away from each other. Social distance is important, and just washing your hands. You know, just doing the little things that you can to protect each other, to protect our elders and the people that, and everybody else that's getting sick.
Well said. Well said indeed. Kevon Looney with Joe Lowen-Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Kevon, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for jumping on. Good luck with the rest of the rehab. We can't wait to see you and the rest of the guys out there on the court again sometime soon.
Thanks for having me on. Can't wait to get back on the court.
Absolutely. Kevon Looney, NBA champion, Warriors big man with Joe Lowen-Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Have either one of you reconsidered your position on whether or not the NFL season will be delayed in any way, shape, or form, or altered based on what's happening right now? It feels as if more information comes out, we have to reassess, recalibrate, refocus on what the answer is. Lo, where are you at right now? Do you think the NFL kicks off Thursday night, week one, as many are anticipating?
You know what, Joe? I think the NFL is going to be altered a little bit, but I'm going to tell you right now, after having this conversation with you and Dibs and start going down this rabbit hole, what sports and how it looks and how the commissioner, the NFL said, hey, all facilities are closed down, how people wanted to push back the draft, why? Then you ask yourself why. Why is because, like you said, California, New York, those two teams, those two areas that have ball teams there, they're at a disadvantage because other cities and towns aren't affected because of the population. So you look at those four ball clubs or five ball clubs and they're saying, What can we do now? Since we already know it's an unfair advantage for those teams, but other teams' facilities are still open, people are still coming and able to get work out, how do we do this? I really believe you're going to see the NFL put these guys, just like when you used to go to lacrosse and have these camps, I would not be surprised if they move these different teams to different cities, especially the LA and New York, and say, we're going to play these games. Because I don't think this year, I really believe this year, stadiums are going to be changed. The stadiums, no matter what happens, are still going to be changed. Fans aren't going to be allowed. I really believe that's going to happen in football. But I think, with that being said, I think that you can still keep football on course because you can have the camps, you can have them away, and I think that this is a revenue. And I think when you're only talking about 7 days apart, I can see the football season staying on course and just moving these teams out of their prospective states.
But you think the NFL will play games in front of no fans? You're leaning to that right now.
I'm leaning to that, Joe. I really am leaning to that. I think that is going to be the huge difference. But you know what, Joe? You go 9-on-7, dibs. We go out there and we practice, and it's live, and you're going out there, and you're hitting, and you're doing the same thing. Fans don't make you hit any harder. When you got to go looking at a guy across the line, and he's coming to get your cornbread, trying to mess up your chicken, you still going to play and still play at a high level.
Yeah, no matter how many fans are in there. I think that the NFL should still be on track to have that Thursday opener, Joe. And I think Lowe is partially right when he says games without fans. You'll probably see a small number of fans, whether it's, you know, less than 500. Hopefully we get to that point where social distancing and the flattening of the curve has worked to where teams can get together and football can go forward. But I'm with Lowe to the extent that I can't see there being 60,000 fans and getting back to tailgating and Bills fans throwing each other through tables and, you know, Las Vegas Raider fans tailgating, you know, 40 miles away and then getting bussed in. I just can't see that happening right away to start the season. But I think games will be played on schedule. And maybe it's just me being an optimist about the flattening of the curve actually working. And I think it is going to work here in California. And hopefully the rest of the country follows suit. And then by the fall, we're ready to go with the NFL.
Well, one thing people need to realize is that flattening the curve doesn't mean eliminating coronavirus.
Right,
and this
right.
is where we haven't looked as far ahead to the fall just yet with the NFL because everyone's so caught up in the immediate future as they should be. But fast forward. Right? Say we're able to flatten the curve in an amount of time they're projecting because April's supposed to be the worst month yet. Atlanta's being overrun right now. You're going to see the new hot spots popping up in Florida, Georgia, all these states that
Louisiana,
didn't want to do anything
yeah.
at all. They're going to be the new hot spots. New York City's overrun. These states are going to follow. So what's going to happen is it's going to continue to grow. April's going to be the worst month that we've had yet. Who knows if it'll get worse in May? At some point, the curve gets flattened, but that's not eliminated. So just because you flatten the curve, come September, you can't just go ahead and say, all right, 65,000 people all back in 16 different venues each weekend, plus tailgating, plus the NBA, plus the NHL, plus Major League Baseball, plus the Masters, plus UFC, plus boxing, plus insert everything else here. You have all that. The cases that are still out there, those people are going right into those buildings, and it's starting all up all over again. So while it might not be a thing in Wisconsin right now, it will be come Packers season. And then you throw in the regular flu on top of it, you've got to deal with that as well, and you got to take precautions. So looking down the road, while the NFL doesn't necessarily have a problem on its hands at the moment because they're not in action, they're going to have a problem at some point that they need to face because I don't think we're going to get to a point where everyone's just honky-dory come late July, problem solved, we're all willing to go back to business as usual. This is going to have a trickle-down effect that probably lasts through the end of the year. You'd almost have to imagine. With the way this thing's growing.
And the trickle out of it of like OTAs and all the things that the players are going to have to get into. Forget the draft, but after the draft, you know, you've got the OTAs and you've got other team activities that need to take place ahead of camp and then camp to lead into a regular season. It's not like, especially with football, Lowe, you can't just all of a sudden go in cold and say, all right, let's go play some football week one, you know.
No.
In basketball, you could at least, you know, get private workouts, individual workouts. In baseball, it's an individual sport, so the ramp-up time for baseball would be less. Right. But with football, even if we do get that, not even a green light like Joe's describing, but like a yellow light where, okay, it's okay that we start, you know, getting together and practicing, you'll still need a lead-up time from there to be able to have real games again.
Yeah, you're right. But it's going to be interesting to see how it works out.
Bob and the Billions coming up in about 5 minutes. It's a slightly different version than what we're used to doing. We're shouting out local restaurants, local businesses. If you're still open and you want the people to know, hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Let us know the business. Let us know where it's located. We're going to be happy to shout it out beginning in about 5 minutes at 8:55. But it's 8:50, and we're doing something new here called the Wheel of Fun. So nice guy, Stephen Langford, I turn it over to you, sir.
Welcome to the 8 o'clock hour edition of Wheel of Fun. Lo, I'm going to start with you on this one. I'm really actually curious to hear what your answer is. But Lo, if you were to be stuck on an island with one person from the station, who would it be?
Dan Dibley. Dan Dibley, it'd be. Because I know I can whoop his butt. I can slap him around. I can pat him on the head and say, Dan Dibley, get my socks, please. It'd be Dan Dibley.
So that's the reason you're choosing Dibs, huh?
The rationale behind it is peculiar, solid, to say the least.
Yeah, so he can whoop me and then make me go get his socks. Because we're on an island and you got to wear socks.
Rub my
when,
feet.
You know,
rub
toes
my
in
feet.
The sand. That's
oh
it's
boy.
Barry.
Wow.
You'd be forced to be with the big fella, Dibbers.
Joe, go to you here. If you were stuck on an island with one person.
I'm rethinking it after that answer, but honestly, it would be low. And it would be low in a landslide. If you think about it, Lo, with all the stuff he knows how to do from growing up on a farm, he's resourceful. He has the insight probably in how to catch fish and animals, how to start a fire, how to build a hut, how to survive. Plus, he's really strong, and he reacts well in danger. When we were at the golf tournament a few years ago, and we were about to tee off, and that woman passed out from too much alcohol in her cart and fell over and hit her head. Lo, your immediate reaction was to run over and help her out. Like, some people stare and it takes a few seconds to figure out what's going on. Some people have the flight response. Let's just get out of here. I don't want to deal with this. You immediately sprung into action. It's a complete landslide. I can't think of anyone else. It pains me to say it, but I'm going to answer honestly. If you're stuck on a deserted island for however
Tell
long,
him,
the,
Jody.
The best way of surviving is going to be with Lo Neal.
All right, Dibs.
Come on, Dibs. Grilled cheese.
On this
grilled cheese, Dibber. Make it a landslide.
It's a hard pass, quite frankly. As annoying as you are 4 hours a day, each and every day, I can't imagine 24 hours a day of how annoying you are. Your smug, your faux humility, your inability to really do anything for anybody outside of you being a show pony when it comes to being a giver, it's a hard pass.
Jeez.
The correct answer is Daryl the Guru Johnson. He's excited. He's got hot takes. The kind of hot takes that will keep you warm at night. He's got opinions. I want to be entertained because ultimately we know how this ends. Not Lo, not Joe, not one person on our station has the wherewithal to stay alive like Tom Hanks did for 3 years. You're going out quick, so if I'm going out quick, at least entertain me with your hot takery.
No way.
True friend, you're taking me.
No way. Lo would be able to put you in a position where you would survive. Guru, the first day, Dibs, this is bad, man. This is bad. What are we going to
like, Guru,
do,
get
Dibs.
Away from me.
Dibs,
you would tell Guru to get
coconut. I'm excited.
And then you say something like, Guru, just calm down. We just got here. You're right. Everything's going to be fine.
And Dibs, they don't have coconuts in the Yoon.
Yeah, you can't. Guru would be too. He's too on the extreme. There would be no middle ground. You can't have that when you're deserted. You need middle ground. You can't have the extremes.
Okay. Dibs, you would tell Guru to get away from you. You would say, Guru, I can't handle it. Just go over there for a while. I can't handle it.
Why don't you just pick Steinmetz, commence your bromance, ride off into the sunset, watching the sunset every night,
please.
Drinking your coconut pina coladas, and you can drift off together. You could be like Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau and Grumpy Old Men.
Oh, I'm so out.
Yeah, I'm totally out with that. Although he could be in my backyard right now as your boy is. He's been a little itchy, shall we say. He's been a little itchy to hang out.
How about that?
Yeah, but it's a we're all itchy to hang out. That's the thing. All of society is itchy to hang out. That doesn't mean we go out and do it. Why is he in your backyard?
No, I'm actually itchy to be left the hell alone, which is why I'm now at my happiest, because Lo has again dipped out of the Skype. So for the
you
first
know
time this
dibs.
Morning, I can hold on, Lo, take a playoff. For the first time today, I'm actually in a decent mood because I don't have to look at the big grilled cheese anymore. So thank you, Lo.
Sometimes dibs, I just. Go ahead, Joe.
No, it's fine. It's
please. No, go ahead, Lo.
Dibs, you know what, Dibs? You know what the shocking thing about it is this.
Tell me, Lo.
You and I, we have such a great time together at times, and then sometimes you just act like you just absolutely you-know-what kind of hole. And and I don't understand, because I don't know why you just
sinkhole.
Didn't be honest. Since,
yes,
a sinkhole.
An emotional
why
sinkhole.
Did you just, wow.
But I keep it real, because you come across as you're not as genuine
am I
as
smug?
You come across.
You honestly
so smug. You,
okay,
855,
so really?
855,
so
we've got
thanks,
a conversation
thanks,
coming
Joe.
Up with Eric Davis at 9 o'clock, but right now we want to shout out local businesses. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Bob and the Billions.
Do you have any say over what your office was going to look like here?
Great question.
Yeah.
Well,
we
can
I
go
know.
See it after this.
Yeah.
Go see it. Lo,
yes.
Lo can come. Just Lo.
You know what? Thank
Whoa.
You. Thank you.
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
No,
yeah,
it takes too much abuse here. I got to be honest. I listen to you guys.
Now, I love this. You're one of the billions?
You know what?
One of the billions.
Poor guy takes too much abuse. Jeez. This would be playing on a loop in an island where Lo is stuck. He'd be twisting and turning and dancing around. This is Lo Neal's island theme song right here, Joe.
Get him in. Bob and the Billions. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Based on the situation we're dealing with, we're shouting out local businesses. If you're open, if you want us to know about it, hit up the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Shout out RF Rotisserie on Broderick Street.
Rotisserie Chicken.
Corky's Pest Control in Napa and Solano still open.
Hang in there, Corky's.
All-Star Rents in Vallejo.
All-Star Rents.
Sun State Equipment Rentals in San Jose.
Sun State.
Rustic Bakery in Tiburon Shopping Center open for business, takeout, lunches, and baked goods and coffees.
Mm-mm-mm, that's finger-licking good. I love my bakery.
Best Pest Services Pest Control in the city.
Control those pests.
Peterson Painting in Livermore.
Oh, Peterson Paint.
Gino Tires in Richmond, California. Slide on through.
I want my Gino Tires.
Szechuan House in Vallejo. Best Chinese food in Vallejo.
Szechuan?
From the 408, Steinmetz chose Dibs yesterday. Apparently they had the same question, and Steinmetz chose you, Dibs.
You guys like Dime Time to the Deuce?
Repeating material. That's nice. We're getting midday's crumbs. That felt great.
North Bay Nissan in Petaluma.
Petaluma.
Bounty Hunter in Walnut Creek. Yak and Yeti in Napa on Jefferson.
Crack on them boys.
Fast Eddie with Cresco Equipment in Oakland. Mello's Pizza in Livermore.
Oh, Mello's.
King's Donuts on Clayton Road in Concord.
The King is here.
El Torador Mexican Restaurant, West Portal, San Francisco.
El Torador!
Green Door, San Francisco, open for business. Green Door's a popular one. Curly's Bar in Hayward. Vegan Chicken Indian Restaurant is El Sobrante. Man, we got a bunch. Keep them coming. We'll try to get as many in throughout the course of the show as possible. Ramen 101 in San Leandro as well. Mighty Auto Parts of the Bay Area. Baggies, Liquors, and Burlingame. We're back Baggies. With Eric Davis next. But first, a reminder. If you're just getting to work, remember to keep listening to Joe Lo and Dibs on your mobile phone or desktop. If you haven't already, download the Radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. Take full advantage of Radio.com Rewind and other awesome features on the app. Eric Davis is next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.